I just want to say that my mom's watching today, so I have to be on my best behavior. But how many youngsters can actually say that they get to preach to their mothers? It's an incredible opportunity of what God does. So Pastor Paul has gone away and he has abandoned you and left you with me. I am very sorry, but you're stuck with me for the next three services. But what an absolute blessing it is. And I want to focus a little bit around Christmas, obviously because it's Christmas. Now, we play a game and we've done it at home sale. In fact, it got banned from home sale. We didn't do it this year. But it was where you bring a random gift wrapped up. And basically, you play this game with a whole rhyme and all sorts of things, and this parcel gets passed around, and you get to open it up. And the next person gets to decide, as they get to open up the parcel, they get to decide whether they like theirs or like somebody else's in the room. And you have no choice. You could be landing up with a brand new Nando's voucher, full chicken meal voucher, the incredible thing, and somebody could swap it with a KFC snack burger, you know? And you wouldn't be able to say anything, a horrible exchange. Now, I'm sure some of you would have loved to have swapped some of your gifts that you've been given, or maybe none of you have really had any bad gifts, I'm sure. I haven't whatsoever. We want to exchange it. Now, my wife is a grade two teacher, and she used to get some very interesting gifts. And I know it came from incredible hearts of the kids really wanting to do something. But yeah. And what my wife used to do, Sarah, used to wrap it up and then give it to my sister. Just to see what my sister's reaction would be. And my sister would be kind of polite at first, realize it's a prank, and save it for the next Christmas to give it back to Sarah. I think one of these parcels went on about 3-4 years back and forth, just of getting each other. Now, would you love a gift exchange? Well, we see that God gives us a gift exchange. And this morning, I want to focus on the fact that God gives us, he takes our worry, and he gives us in exchange his authentic peace. How's that incredible? That we can bring our burdens, our worries, our stress, and we can bring that to the Lord, the Prince of Peace, and we can exchange it before the cross. Incredible. And we have a lot of things to worry about during this time. Those who've written matric have to wait an incredibly long time before they find their results out. I remember the nervousness before that. I was running around to garage petrol stations to get the newspaper before my parents got the newspaper, just so I knew whether to hide or to become visible. And the year I did that was the year they decided not to release the results before they were released from the schools. So I spent a whole evening worrying about something that didn't really come out. Maybe we worried about finances. The economy during this time has been terrible. We've seen job losses. We've seen retrenchments. We've seen pay cuts. And how are we surviving? Maybe some of us are worried about not going to the beach. As you know, that all the beaches in Gauteng are closed. Yeah. We are suffering as a province. Maybe some of us are worried about that. Maybe worried about tomorrow. Maybe worried that I'm not going to finish in time for the lunch that you've got in the oven. You know, we've got a lot to worry about. A new strand of COVID coming out. What's going to happen? Are we going to get this? And so what does the Lord have to say? We want to look at Matthew chapter 6. So around the Sermon on the Mount, and we see a therefore. We've got incredible passages before God talking about finances, talking about so many different things. But I want to focus on this. Matthew chapter 6 from verses 25 to 34. And it says this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body or what you wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, how they sow, they reap, and they store in barns. They do not store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And do you not? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers in the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God has clothed the grass in the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, he will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after after all these, and your heavenly Father knows what you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Incredible passage. Father God, we thank you for the fact that you know us. Thank you that all the storehouses are in your hand. Thank you that you know tomorrow and you're the only person that knows tomorrow. For you are the first and the last. And Lord, we pray that we would find comfort, conviction, and guidance through your word this morning. Pray this in your name. Amen. So God exchanges our worry for his peace. Now, peace is something that we all would want. Just look at the world pageants. If you became Miss America, what would you bring about? World peace. Anyone's like, yeah, that sounds great. You know, if they want to get voted up, I'll make sure there's no more homework. Yeah, I'm for her. But we all want peace. We want peace in our families. We want peace in our workplaces. We want peace in our schools. We want peace in our country. It's a great desire. And we run after these things. Peace in our finances. Peace with the tax man. You know, we look for this. And so we're all seeking it. But yet, what is the opposition to peace? It's often worry. And Jesus here highlights the worry six times that he mentions this in this passage. Do not worry. Do not worry. It comes so much. We've titled it in different terms, burdens, anxiety, stress. This is the burden I have to bear. I have to carry. Now there is, and I just want to give you a bit of a disclaimer. There are different types of worry. But I want to highlight this. There's a difference between worry and caution. Approaching a stop street or a orange robot with caution is wisdom. The Bible's not talking about that. It's particularly driving in Johannesburg, slowing down at the orange robots, not just running off at a green robot with caution. That's wisdom that's there. There's a difference between that. We sometimes need to be cautious. Sometimes you will have a gut feel or feel, this is not right, or this shouldn't be, or I just need to be aware of things. There's a difference there. There's also a difference between worry and wisdom. I'm going to be wise with my expenses this month. I'm not going to run off to credit to go and buy my spouse a Christmas gift because I left it till Christmas Eve to go and buy it. I'm rather going to be wise and budget these things because I want to just know that we've got enough, that we are okay. The Bible is full of teachings about wisdom. And so we need to seek wisdom. There's nothing wrong with having wisdom in some of our decisions, being wise or cautious in some of those things. And I also want to say that some here will have an anxiety that is experienced through trauma. We live in a country that lives in trauma. I have had the journey and the privilege of journeying alongside many, many people that have been involved in armed robberies or seen horrific things as a family. And I've had that privilege of joining alongside them both as a pastor and a police reservist and a victim support member. And I know that some of us may be having worries or anxieties as you go into a room because you've experienced something. I know that. And I want to tell you that God's healing hand, I have seen his healing hand in many of those circumstances. I've seen God remove the sting of that trauma. But sometimes that awareness of what happened will be there. I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is the thing that we often do. The opposition to peace. We experience this trauma that comes around. This worry that comes around. Now, I am great at worrying. As you can see from the top of my head, that worry has an impact on me. 20 years of dealing with teenagers. I'm sure you've been worried about teenagers before. You'll see that. And when I thought it finished there, I found that I had gray hairs on my beard that grew out. 20 years of youth ministry. And so I have been at a place where worry has been a thing that I've struggled with. And so the sermon this morning is also for me. So what do we find out about worry? Now, Jesus highlights a number of things about worry, and I want to focus on this. Firstly, that worry is unnatural. We, as his creation, shouldn't experience worry. What makes me say that? He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body or what you wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. How much more valuable are you not much more valuable than they? You see this, the fact that the birds and the grass and nature, creation, is so dependent on God that it doesn't need to worry. And we're part of his creation. How much more valuable are we than they? Worry is an unnatural thing. It's come about because we live in a very broken world, because sin has entered into this world. And it's come about that. It's come about where we start to move and shift away and start to trust us. Now, this text is very clear that guys struggle with worrying. What makes me say that? Well, guys, it says, what you eat or drink. How many of us have gone to the fridge and looked for something easy to eat and felt there was nothing because anything took more than 5 minutes to make? There's a big problem. For a guy, it's what we think about. It's what we would fear if we opened that fridge. Uh-oh, we've got problems. But it's not limited to guys, because it says here, girls, what you wear. How many of you have gone to your cupboards, looked at a massive amount of clothes and said, I have nothing to wear? It's something we struggle with, both guys and girls. I didn't mean it, Nathan. I wouldn't eat anything from the church fridge, Nathan. So you talk about food, and that's where guys' minds go to. I knew I shouldn't have brought that point in. And so it is unnatural. And we need to know that it's coming from somewhere. That is not the plan that God has for us to worry. It's not part of what he's in. I get to a point where I sometimes so stress out that I'm going to fail. I have such a worry about failing that I tend to do the very thing I worry about. I remember my driver's test that I went for. And no, despite what some of you may believe, I didn't pay for it. I paid for the second one. No. And I went to the examiner and I bumped a pole, trying to convince him that it was a scratch mark, insurance, that's what insurance is for. You know, we got this thing sorted, and failed. And the driving instructor was nice enough to say, well, do you want to carry on in the yard? So I said, yes, please. The minute that was gone, I aced the yard. And he was like, you would have passed. I'm like, don't tell me that now. Can't you just forget the past? But we don't. Some of us are so worried about what happened in the past. And some of us are so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. We're caught in those things. Why does this come about? Well, it comes about because often we put our faith in other things. I put my faith in my salary. I put my faith in their bonus. I put my faith in my friends. I put my faith in my family. I put my faith in all of these things that sometimes will let us down. Instead of being in a place where we place our faith in a God who never disappoints. That's who we need to trust. So worry is unnatural. Worry is also a waste. Goes on to say, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Has anyone here solved anything by worrying? Anyone? We stress so much They do stats, and I spoke about this last Sunday night when I spoke about doubt. But often we worry about things that we have absolutely no control over. We've got no control over your matric marks that are going to come out. You've written the exams. You've done that. You've got no control over your salary that's going to come, to be honest. Work hard, you got that. You've got no control over the economy. And we worry about those things. We also spend so much time worrying about the things we've done before. I did the illustration and I said, how sure are you that you've locked your car? I found out that Sunday night that a youngster had their car stolen a week ago and made her panic. She didn't listen the whole sermon. But anyway, you know, but how often do we actually doubt, did I really do this? And we go back to do it and we've done it. They say 8% of what we worry about is actually something we can impact, have an impact in. Only 8%. What are you worried about right now? See, worrying doesn't work. It doesn't change anything. It simply wastes time, and it also has an impact on tomorrow. I'm so worried about my exam tomorrow that I spend more time worrying about my exam than I do actually doing what I need to do and focusing on today. It starts to focus on that. I'm so worried about these things that I lose my focus on what I'm actually supposed to be doing. Have you been caught up with a worry that has so gripped you that you feel no good? We lose our focus. Thirdly, Jesus goes on to tell us that worry also affects our witness. Worry also infects our witness. So why do you worry? Verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For pagans run after these things. Yet your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What's this passage saying to us? Well, worry is actually unspiritual. Because those who do not know the Lord are the ones that should be worrying. But those of us who know the Lord, we have this incredible opportunity to show and witness during this time. Think of the incredible opportunity we have. In our workplaces, when everyone's in an absolute crisis mode, to be that stable people. Those who are there, who are not reliant on our outward circumstances, but are reliant on the Lord. Wouldn't people turn around and say, oh, during this time, I want something that you have. See, when we're stressing like everyone else, how are we really showing Christ in our lives? In fact, rather, it shows a lack of faith. And rather a faith in other things. So imagine what our witness would be like. If we had to be people who are called by his name, called to display his glory, knowing who he is and whose we are, a place of trusting in him, if we did that, what change would we have in our country? We have a global crisis at the moment. I think never than before has the church got in such an incredible opportunity to display God's glory, to point people to the Prince of Peace. So it impacts our faith. So what does Jesus do? Because I struggle with worry. As much as I'm saying these things, I think of the times that my witness has been impacted. I think of the times that I've wasted so much time stressing about things. So what's the real answer and formula here? And I want to focus on three words that Christ uses here. It's faith, father, and first. Do you see that in the text? Firstly,
says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, we need to know that God cares for his children. See, sometimes when we worry, we lose focus on who God is. Do you realize that he is the heavenly Father? Because we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he sees us through his Son. And we are adopted and brought in. And he cares for us. There's nothing too big that we can't take to him. Just last night, my daughter had a spider in her room. An absolute panic. She went to go get a blanket and the spider was right there. It brought fear and trembling. Now, I've got an honest confession here. I got bitten by a spider when I was a youngster. I do not like spiders. One, they've got something to do with Marvel and we don't like Marvel. Okay. Two, they're hairy, scary things. And sometimes when you smack them and they disappear, there's nothing more fearful than that. So I get called. She comes in weeping because this has been a big impact. She's got dad's fear. I muscle up. Get strength. I'm Batman. I can do this. And I whack the thing. Because you've got to get shrapnel because I want to know that if it's going to go anywhere, it's going to go everywhere. Okay? Kill the thing and here's this absolute panic, but here's this relief. And I remember she was too scared to sleep in her room. But as she went into our bedroom and said, we'll let her stay here for a bit, she asked me to stay with her. And her words were this, comforting for her dad, I feel okay because you're here. Do you realize who God is? Do you realize he's our heavenly Father? Do you realize we can call, Abba, Father, God, I need you right now. I'm in turmoil. This is too much. This is a burden I cannot carry. This is a worry I cannot bear. God, I need you right now. And we're not beating our chests. We don't have to do that. We come to a Father who cares for us. Philippians 4 verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and penitentiation, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. See, we've got to turn to God, not turn to other things to solve our worry. We've got to turn to a heavenly Father who cares about you. He knows you. He knows your needs. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows you. But he also knows tomorrow. We've got to turn to a Father who knows best. He goes on from verse 6, when we pray and we present and we hand it over to him, he says this, verse 7, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding. So in other words, the peace of God we experience when we pray and we hand it over to him, which transcends all understanding. So in other words, is far greater than all our plans or what we could hold or we could prepare for. What situation we're in transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts. Why? It keeps our faith in him. A trust in him protects us and our minds in Christ Jesus. What gets impacted when we don't trust? When we don't experience the peace of God? Well, our minds and our hearts. That doubt and that unbelief comes in. So when we hand it to him, knowing that he's our heavenly Father, he guards our hearts and our minds. And we experience his peace. Our next word, faith, means trusting God to meet our needs. Now, how many people here, and Jason, don't answer because you know too much about birds, okay? But how many people here have ever seen a bird doing farming? Jason, are there such a thing? If there is, just say no. Okay. How many birds have you seen doing farming? How many birds do we see going into the bank? I'd like to take out a pension fund. I'd like to go do this. And yet God provides for them. Even more, he uses the next example. He uses flowers. Flowers, unlike the birds, can go off and work to try to get their seed and go find it. Flowers are just there. They've got to grow. They've got to be where they're planted. How much more trust do they need to have? And yet God says that he's able to meet our needs. Notice the words here, needs. So are we trusting in God? Where's our faith in? I'm not saying that pension funds are bad. I think there's wisdom. I'm not saying that going and putting money into the banks is bad. I think there's a wisdom. But don't let that be our basis of trust. Because our trust is to be in our Heavenly Father. We've got to have faith in Him. So do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Or do you just simply know about Him? But you've never really put your faith in Him, saying, God, I want to believe in You. I'm going to trust in You. I want to encourage you to put your faith in Him. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says this, cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. You love that? Cast. Have your faith, trust, put everything, lean towards. Put every hope into Him. God, I want to trust You. Why? Because I know You care for me. How do we grow our faith? Well, often we grow our faith by the next step we take. But we also grow our faith by being reminded of the steps we've taken. We're reminded of His faithfulness. I love journaling and reminded of God's ministry moments, moments that God has only and God could only come through. I'm sure each of us can share that. Reminded of God's faithfulness so that we can take the next step in faith. That next step. See, it's about a faith in God and not other things. Then lastly, we're told the word first. It says here, we practice the true righteousness. When we practice we put God first when we practice the true righteousness of the kingdom. See, it's not about just putting in a faith, but faith in action. God, I want to place You first in my life. That means Your agenda is more important. That means Your kingdom is far more important than mine. Who You are is far more important than the popularity, the position I hold, the wealth I have. God, it's about You and Your kingdom. So when we're in this place and saying, God, I want to know Your will for today. I want to know what it is that You want me to do. God, I want Your leading. I want to glorify You in all that I'm at, in the positions I'm at, because You've placed me here. When we do that and we put God first, we don't need to worry. Why? Because I am walking in the will of God. God, may I know Your leading. May I know Your guidance, for You are first in my life. So that means, and I'm going to say something very harsh here, but so often worry leads to sin. Why? Because worry brings in about an unbelief. God, You can't do this. This problem is actually bigger. When we say it that way, it sounds silly. But isn't that what we sometimes do? God, I want to trust You. I want to acknowledge that I've been caught up. But God, I want to place You first in my life. So Jesus comes. He comes in a time of turmoil for some of the Israelites. Comes in a time of Roman rule. He comes in a time when people hope for so many more. But He comes as the Prince of Peace. And it is incredible, through Jesus Christ coming as a little baby, journeying and dying on the cross, for Christmas is about Easter, that He brings us back to a place where we're at peace with God through His sacrifice. So we trust in Him. For if he has brought about peace with God, how much more will he exchange our gift of worry for his peace? Do we know him as Father? Have we placed our faith in him? And are we putting him first? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for who you are. Lord, that you know what's going on in this world, and this world is full of brokenness. We see manipulation, we see corruption, we see so many things that are going around that are damaging to this world. Be it, Lord, thank you that we don't have to place our trust in anything of this world but in you. And I pray that we would do that, even in times of great storms. And so I pray for those that are going through incredible struggles right now, that do not know where their next paycheck is, that do genuinely open the fridge and there is no food. I pray for those that are so gripped by fear of a virus that has taken over this world. I pray for those that are so fearful in various things, in their witness even. Lord, may we know you. May we know your presence. May we be so aware as your children, we are never, ever alone. But we can experience us being held in your right hand. So Lord, we thank you that only you knows tomorrow. May we cast all our anxiety unto you, for you do care. We thank you, Lord, in your name.